My name is Kristen Chow. I'm 40 years old. Today's date is September 2nd, 2018. I'm located in Kansas City, Missouri, and I'm with my mom and my dad today.
My name is Joseph Chow. I'm 83 years old. Today's date is September 2nd, 2018. I'm in Kansas City, Missouri, and I'm with my daughter and my wife.
My name is Doris Elaine Chow. My age is 79 years old. Today's date is September 2nd, 2018. I'm in Kansas City, Missouri, and I'm here with my daughter, Kristen, and my husband, Joe.
Okay, where did both of you guys grow up?
Well, we both grew up in Kansas City, Kansas.
And where were you born?
Well, I was born in Kansas City, Kansas, but my mother, she was from Greenville, Mississippi, Greenville or somewhere around Mississippi. But anyway, my brothers, they were all born in Mississippi, and I was born in Kansas City, Kansas.
Okay. So, Mama, what was it like growing up in Kansas City?
Well, first I'll tell you, I was born in Kansas City, Kansas. My whole family, was born in Kansas City, Kansas. I grew up as the youngest of five children at that time. Later, I had a younger sister that was born when I was 14 years old. And growing up, being the youngest in the family, I was always treated as the baby, as the baby sister. And it was good growing up among, I had three sisters. It was five of us. I had three sisters and one brother. And, of course, I was the fifth one.
So, Daddy, what was it like? Did you spend any time in Mississippi when you were a child?
What happened, the only time I remember being in Mississippi is when I was probably about maybe 3 years old, because my mother, she moved back from Mississippi to Kansas City. And I do remember just a little bit about Mississippi. And see, my mother had a grocery store down there that she ran. But I guess around 1937 or 38, somewhere around that, she moved back to Kansas City, because her family lived here in Kansas City, Kansas.
Do you have any memories of Mississippi?
Oh, just very few memories. I just kind of remember playing around in the grocery store with one of the neighbors across the street, but that's about all.
Mm-hmm. What was, Mama, what was your best childhood memory?
My best childhood memories was we used to go out at that time years ago. The homes back there, they had alleys, and we would play up and down the alley with my neighborhood, with the neighborhood children, and ride the bicycle playing up and down the alley. It was good.
Daddy, what did you ever get into trouble when you were a kid? What's the worst thing you ever did?
Oh, the worst thing I ever did? That's a good question, but I don't think I did a lot of bad things when I was growing up. But my mother had a beer joint, and we were raised the beer joint was in this building, and we stayed upstairs. The beer joint was downstairs, and maybe the worst thing that I could think I ever did was, I remember that during those times. At this particular time, I think things were pretty rough, I guess. And some guy came into the beer joint, and he had been drinking. I guess he probably was kind of drunk. And he went back in the restroom, restroom. And he left his wallet back there. He lost his wallet. And then later on, he came back and just happened. I went in and, I guess, cleaned up the restroom. I found the wallet. And we needed the money back then, so I gave the money to my mother, you know. Mm. And this guy came back, I guess, maybe 2 or 3 days later after he had sobered up and wanted to know if we found the wallet. I told him, no, we hadn't found the wallet. But that's probably one of the worst things. And I really think about that sometimes. I said, if I knew where this guy was, I would get in touch with him and give him his money back. But that's been years ago. Those guys probably
How
did.
Were you?
Well, I probably was about maybe 12 or 13 years old.
Oh, okay.
I worked in the beer joint, see?
Yeah.
And at that time, the laws they had didn't prohibit kids from working in beer joints and stuff like that. But I worked in the beer joint. Mm-hmm.
What would you say your best memory of childhood is?
My best memory of childhood?
Mm-hmm.
When you say childhood, what age are you talking about?
Probably, you know, any time, teenager or younger.
Teenager or younger. Oh, let me see. Well, probably. You know, we were pretty poor back in those days, and I wanted a bicycle, and I remember my aunt going up to Western Auto, and getting me a bicycle, and I thought that was I was in heaven then, you know.
Hmm.
And so that's probably one of the best things that I remember when I was a teenager.
What about you, Mom?
I remember my father, he loved to take trips, and we had lots of family in Oklahoma. And I used to love taking trips down in Oklahoma to visit other relatives. My childhood was a little bit different from his. We went to church a lot and participated in activities at church and did lots of traveling with my father and to visit other family members.
How was that? How was traveling back then as a African American in the United States?
Well, I tell you, one trip we took to California, although I think we were married then, Joe and I, we were married, we were young.
Mm-hmm.
But even before then, if we would travel back and forth to California, my father would always set the timing where we would go through the desert at nighttime. We didn't have air conditioning. He always put a water cooler, something on the window like an air conditioner, and it would bring air into the car.
Hmm.
And we would have our water, and we would also have lunch that we would stop during the daytime in the parks and eat lunch, because at that time blacks couldn't go into restaurants. They didn't allow you to come stop in restaurants. So, and when we would have to use the bathroom, we'd stop in the park.
Even out west, huh?
Even out west, long time ago.
Yeah, all over. Let me help out a little bit. Yeah, her father, it just happened when I married her, probably after maybe a year or two after I married her, I went with one of their trips to California. And he would drive straight through, like Elaine said. But we'd have our meat, bologna, and stuff like this, and we'd stop and eat. Because you couldn't stay in the hotels going from here to California, you know.
Hmm.
And so we'd drive straight through. And the reason why he would time it so we'd go through the desert at nighttime, it was like she said, they didn't have air conditioning, and we had to drive straight through. But it was fun, but it wasn't like it is now, where you could go to hotels and stay all night. And
it
like
was
that.
Something that you knew. You just accepted it. That's the way it was.
Yeah.
And I can remember after Valerie and little Junie were born, we were traveling through Utah, and we decided, well, let's see if we decided to stop at a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought, well, let's see if they will serve us. And we got out, and we sat there in the restaurant, and they were trying to be nice. And so finally, one of the waitresses came up and told us that, I'm sorry, I just can't serve you.
Hmm.
So we left.
Yeah. So we got up and left, yeah. That's true.
Okay. I'm going to circle back. I have one more question about your childhood, then we'll move on.
Okay.
Let's see. How was your relationship I'll start with you, Mama. How was your relationship with your parents? What was that like?
Oh, my relationship was really good because I was the baby. They catered to me, and everybody was worried about pleasing the baby. They said, don't do this to the baby or that. So I had a very good relationship with my parents.
What were they like?
Very strong, and, you know, a long time ago, they...
Strict.
Very strict, yeah. And they were Christian people, and we all went to church. And so we had a good relationship. I enjoyed my childhood.
Daddy, how was your relationship? What was your relationship with your parents?
Well, with my mother, because my mother practically raised us. See, I have it was 9 boys, but my mother raised 8 of the boys. My oldest brother was raised by my aunt, so it was pretty good. She raised 8 boys, and we all got along pretty good. But sometimes I wonder how we all stayed in the same house. Mm-hmm. You know, we had a pretty nice house, but it wasn't nothing to brag about. But she raised us, and we had a good relationship with my mother. She wasn't strict on us at all. When we were small, we had to go to church too. But after we got a certain age, she didn't force us to go to church, in which I like that. But I do remember that my mother, during that time when she was raising us, like I said, it was eight boys at the house, she wanted to get on welfare, but they told her if she got on welfare, she'd have to give up her building, but she refused to do that. So even though she had all these kids, she never got on welfare. She went on and worked and took care of us. And then I kind of threw papers and had little odd jobs during the time when I was going to school, so I helped out a little bit.
So she owned her building?
Yeah, she owned the building. She and my stepfather at first had bought the building, and they had a beer joint, which she served food. She cooked and served food. And during that time, there was a corporation called the Darby Corporation, which was right down the street from us. And at noon, all the workers, and these are mostly white workers down at Darby Corporation, mm-hmm. would come up to her restaurant and eat food. You could see them at around 12 o'clock just walking up the street to her restaurant, and she would serve them food. So they had a pretty good little business for a while. Uh-huh.
So what would you say she was like? How would you describe grandmother?
Oh, she was a good mother. I mean, she did the best she could, you know, take care of us. Yeah, and you know, we
What was she like?
What was she like?
How would you describe her to somebody who didn't know her?
Oh, well, she was a good mother. I mean, she took care of her kids, you know. And she worked hard, and so. And she was a Christian lady. She went to church, even though she didn't make us go to church. She went to church herself, you know. And
do you have any memories of your dad and your father?
Well, just a real short memory, because my mother and my father, they got together down in Mississippi. I really never. I don't know whether they were ever married or not, because I understand back in the 30s that even though he was Chinese and my mother was black, that they could not marry. So I'm not sure to this day whether or not they were ever married or not. You know, mm-hmm. But she left Mississippi because all her parents were up here in Kansas City, and she would come back, go back and forth. From Mississippi to Kansas City during that time. And while she was up in Kansas City, she met my stepdad, I guess. So she decided to leave him in Mississippi, and she came to Kansas City, and she stayed. And so she moved to Kansas City, and the only memory I think of him is that he came to Kansas City when we were maybe about 3 or 4 or 5 years old, and wanted us to go with him, and she didn't let him go with us. And so that's the last time I saw him.
Do you have any memories of him before that?
No, I don't, because, see, he had a store in Mississippi, and she had a store in Mississippi. So we stayed with her in Mississippi, well, let me back up a little bit. I do have some memories. I remember him going to meet with other Chinese people during that time in Mississippi, and I do remember him giving us at that time they have what they call gold coins, I believe, and I remember him giving me a gold coin back during that particular time.
And so his store in Mississippi was there because of segregation, right?
Yeah. They had stores in the black neighborhood. Yeah, my mother had one in Greenville, Mississippi. He had one, I think, in a town called Cleveland, Mississippi.
So they served the black. He existed because black people couldn't shop in the white stores.
Probably so. I was too young to know that, but probably so. But that's how he met my mother. My mother was a young, nice-looking woman walking by his store, and he hit on her, I guess, and that's how they got together when in Mississippi. And like I said, he ended up, I don't know whether they got married or not, but they got together. And
they had four?
And he had four childs. His last name is Chow, four. And that's about it, yeah.
Okay. Okay, I'm going to transition into some other questions.
Okay.
Mama, how did you meet Daddy?
In high school, they used to have parties on weekends, and my parents were real strict. They didn't allow me to go to parties, but I slipped to a party one night. And we were dancing, and kids were socializing and everything, and that's when I met Joe for the first time.
Daddy, when did you first fall in love?
When I first fell in love? You mean with Elaine? Well, I dated Elaine probably a couple of years, you know. And I remember, like she said, we met at a party. My parents were real strict on her. And I had a car. See, didn't too many guys have cars back in those days. And I had a car, and I'd pick up, and I couldn't drop off in front of a house. I'd drop off on the corner.
Why?
Well, because they were real strict on her.
Oh.
See, her father had four girls, and he was real strict on them.
Oh, okay.
And so I'd drop off on the corner, and she'd go on home. But later on, after I dated her for a while, I did go to her house and met her father and everything. And
how old were you when you first met?
Probably about 15.
Okay. 15 or 16, yeah. Yeah. See, I was about 19 or 20.
Daddy, how did you know that Mama was the one?
How did I know she was the one?
Uh-huh.
I didn't know at that particular time, but I know now that she was the one. I've been married 62 years, so she had to be the one.
How did you know Daddy was the one, Mama?
Well, basically, he was the only guy I had dated. And he was a nice guy, and he would take... I had a part-time job working after school in the evenings, and sometimes he would take me to and from work, and he was just a nice guy, because when I got to Sumner, you had graduated.
That's your high school?
To high school, mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think I... anyway, yeah, he was nice, and he would take me different places in his car.
That's all it took, huh? Just
what?
I said that's all it took, just some good transportation. Huh?
Yes.
Yeah, I take her to work. She worked for a doctor that had polio, and an iron lung, and she used to go out there, and I used to take her out there, and then when I worked, I had a friend of mine. I would let him use my car. Sometimes he would take her to work for me, and But I would pick her up at night because she got off around 9 or something like at night. But that happened until I married her, yeah.
So how did you propose marriage?
I proposed?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I asked, you know, asked the father. And he, you know, he agreed, so we got married at our parents' home. We didn't get married at a church or anything. We had we had a preacher to come there and marry us. At first, I thought he was a jackleg, but it turned out that he was a bona fide preacher because a few years, well, maybe 20 or 30 years later, my brother in California wanted me to get his marriage certificate from the courthouse. And while I was up there, I checked on mine, and sure enough, I did have one on file up there. And I was, because I didn't know whether this guy that had married us was bona fide, because Elaine's aunt is the one that got the preacher, you know, to marry us. And I had never heard of the guy, and he married us.
She was from the Holiness Church.
Holiness Church.
My mother's sister, Aunt Lenny.
Mm-hmm.
And she's the one that got the guy to propose, I mean, to perform the ceremony.
What advice do you have for young couples since you guys have been married for so long?
Well,
basically, one of the main, we got married and we start having children right away. So our main focus was basically on raising our children. We both, that's one thing we had that was in common, is that we both focused on educating our children, giving them a good education, and our focus was on our children. And that's one reason why I think we had that in common. And we loved just doing things with our children, whereas a lot of other couples, they would, on weekends, on Saturday nights, they'd say, come on, play cards with us or do this. And on weekends, when they were out of school and we were not working, we would go and see a movie together. It was always focused on our children, on our family. And I think that was the main focus that took us through these years.
So couples, the advice would be that couples have a common goal or common focus.
Yes, yes. Another thing, when we first got married, I had just finished high school, and we just had high school educations. And we first moved in with his mother above the beer joint, and it was a lady downstairs renting from them, and she was working at an egg plant. And she says, you want to come and work? I know where you can get a job. So I told her, I said, yeah. So she took me in to work where she worked. They call it an egg plant, but what it was like the assembly line, and you would have to take the eggs out of a container and put them on the assembly line. And so I went to work, and I was taking the eggs out, and roaches start crawling, and I start screaming, and I jumped up, and I ran away, and they were calling me and calling me all kind of names. Come back here. You can't do that. So I only worked that one day, and I told her, thanks for hiring me. And then I went to try to get another job at the hospital as a nurse's aide, and she hired me. And I worked for about 5 days, and then I got my uniforms together and brought them back to her. And told her, I said, I don't intend to do this the rest of my life. I said, thanks for hiring me. And then Joe and I, we discussed that we both need to go back and get our education. Our kids were young. So we talked to my mom, and she said, come and live with us, my mom and father. So we moved from his mother's house over to my parents, and they said, we'll keep the kids while you guys go back to school. So he was working at the post office at that time, and so we discussed. I said, I'll go back first, and I told him that Dr. Nelson had talked me into also going back, and he said, Doris, you need to go back to college. You need to go to college. And I said, well, Dr. Nelson, I don't know what I want to be. He said, well, you're a good student because I used to study out there after school. And he said, you can be a pharmacist. And I said, well, how long does that take? He said, around 5 years. And I said, no, that's too long. I got little children. I don't want to be going to school that long. Then he said, what about a medical technologist? And I said, what is that? He said, well, you work in a lab, but you take the same courses as pharmacists, but you don't go as long. Instead of 5 years, you go 4 years. So he talked me into going into being a medical technologist. So I decided that I would go back to school first, and after I finished, then he would go back. So he was wondering, well, I tell you what I want to do. He says, I want to, at that time, people had technicians that would come and fix your television. He said, I can go and fix learn how to fix people's televisions.
Daddy said that?
Yeah. So I said, well, no, you've got too good of a brain to do that. I said, you need to go and take some college courses. I said, what about being a doctor? He said, no, I don't like blood. I said, what about a dentist? No, I don't like that. But anyway, there was a guy around the corner named Alan, and he used to come around and help him paint the house. We'd moved into our new house. And he was an accountant. So he talked Joe into becoming an accountant. So after I finished school, then he went back to school and he became an accountant.
So is that what you wanted to, is that what you saw yourself doing when you were a kid? Is that, what did you want to do when you
No, I didn't, because, and I'm just going to back up a little bit what Elaine was saying, and what you asked the question about the advice you would give to a young couple.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think the best advice to give them is that if any way possible, both of them be educated before they get married. Because what happened to us, well, I'm 21, she's 17. I had no idea what the future would hold, you know. And I worked on construction, which was pretty hard work. And I had no mentors at all. So I worked on construction, and when I got married, and when Valerie was, when my oldest daughter was married, and Elaine had her, well, we went to, I took Elaine out to KU Hospital and had the baby. It didn't cost me a penny. Because we were so poor, I couldn't afford it. I didn't know anything about insurance. And so she was born without, it didn't cost me anything, you know. At that time, I was working on construction. But later on, I got a job at the post office, which was a better job. But my advice would be for a young couple to both, if any way possible, have an education before you get married, you know.
You think that just makes life
a little easier? It makes it a lot easier, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it makes it a lot easier. But no, you're getting back to the accountant. No, I wasn't planning on going into accounting because I didn't know. But when I started going to school, I just started taking some courses in accounting. And so that's how I got my degree in accounting.
Okay. What are some lessons your work life has taught you?
My work life?
Mm-hmm. Well, like working in the profession that you work in.
Oh, well, what it has taught me is that one of the best things you can do is learn how to write. If you can write good and you can speak well, you can just about go anywhere. I mean, I think to me, and remember though that when we came up, segregation was rough. You couldn't get jobs anywhere, and it just happened that by the time I went to college. Got out of college, I was 35 years old, and I got hired by the Internal Revenue Service. Well, I was kind of old during that time, but I think I just barely made it in, and I ended up having a pretty good career at the IRS. I worked there about 30 years. See,
what was it about your career that taught you that if you could write well and speak well that could take you far?
Because the people I dealt with, I dealt as a revenue agent, you had to be able to write,
mm-hmm.
and you had to talk to people, to communicate. You had to have good communication skills. You had to have good writing skills. And really, I even though I had my degree, I still was a little lax in the writing skills. So really, I learned how to write by working on the job with the Internal Revenue Service. I had to write out reports. You had to communicate with all kinds of people, you know, different professions. You know, when you go out and work in cases, so that taught me that you know, that if it's two things you need to do to succeed in a profession is to be able to write and communicate.
Mama, what's something in your professional life that you learned? What's a lesson from your professional work life that you took away?
My profession was chemistry, and I worked in the chemistry department. And
at a hospital?
At Providence St. Margaret's, mm-hmm. Yes. I did my internship there, and then I worked there for 36 years. And basically, I loved doing what I was doing, and the thing that I would take away is just that I was on my job every day, performed as number one person, and I enjoyed my job. I liked my job. Now, like I said, I was there for 36 years.
And Christy, one thing I want to say about the writing, and even though I had a pretty good job, and I became a manager. I became a manager, and as a manager, you have to write evaluations. Mm-hmm. And that was the only thing I used to hate to do was evaluations, because I did lack some writing skills. But like I said, I became better and better as the years went by and I worked. But that's why I said I think writing is really, really, really important.
Is that something that you developed yourself? You just kind of
I developed myself because I had to write reports and you do a lot of writing and you have to turn this in and somebody does a review for you. And I used to, you know, I used to have people even check me and see, make sure I was using the right English and all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. But why I said that.
I want to say something. Being young, as I was taking courses in college, I learned that children, when they're from 1 to 5, that they're able to learn more at that particular time than at any time in their life. So we had a piano, and we started Valerie out playing the piano at 4 years old. My son, he later took lessons when he was 6. And then Christy, you started violin when you were 3 years old. So those were some of the things that I had learned when I went to school about children, that they learn at an early age. So I started very young with teaching them.
Yeah, and I think all of us took away those. That's something that's definitely been passed on to us, those lessons of hard work. And even for me, for writing, I think you drilled that into me, Daddy, when I was younger and in school, that how important it was to learn how to write well. And still, that's what I do in my job every day now.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And one other thing, education, because we did not have our education early. We wanted each of you to get your education. So as each one of you graduated, we would always ask what college. It wasn't a matter of if you were going to college. It was a matter of where did you want to go. Right. So Valerie became a doctor. Junie became an accountant. And you became a lawyer. So that's one of the things that we're very proud of.
Yeah, and that's what I tell my friends that was the question. It wasn't if you were going to college, it was where. And even I think we can look in our family and say the same thing, that you know, we had certain expectations that other kids and families didn't have, and thankfully I think we all lived up to those expectations. But I think it was important that you all set those very early on for all three of us.
Yeah. And something else, I think we did pretty good to come up in a segregated society, because when we came up, you didn't have the job opportunities that the kids have now. And so we came up in this segregated society, and even if you had your education, you couldn't use it anywhere back in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s. But it just happened that when the opportunity did come along, we were ready to take advantage of that opportunity. And I got a pretty good job, and Elaine got a pretty good job. She was a medical technologist. I was a revenue agent, and that made it just happened. That's why I always say that we barely made it under the line, because there's a lot of people at our age and everything, that didn't make it because of segregation.
So if those barriers had not existed, what would you have done? What profession would you have chosen if you could have chosen anything to do?
Well, in my particular case, I really don't know because during that time, I didn't have a mentor or anything that wanted to try to guide me on a particular profession, but I knew that the only good jobs at that time was either school teachers or a post office and places like that, you know.
If you were both still working, if there was anything you could do now, what would you do? What would you want to do?
I loved my profession, so I still would have been a medical technologist. And I thank the Lord that Dr. Nelson was in my life to introduce that profession to me.
Well, you know what? I probably would do the same thing that I did when I was retired. I probably would be an accountant because I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it, and because I couldn't have retired 20 years earlier, but I stayed on the job until I got not 20 years, but at age 55 I could have retired. But I worked until I was 65, I think, yeah. Hmm. And I could have retired earlier, but I liked doing what I was doing. I really enjoyed it. And it was like, the job I had was like working for you. It was almost like being self-employed because I ran my shop and I really enjoyed it.
I worked for 36 years and you worked for 44.
44, yeah. Hmm. I've been retired 17 years and she retired a week after I retired.
You have a few more minutes.
Yeah, I think that's...
But one thing I'd like to say too is that in my family, I think I was the first one to go to college and graduate, and Elaine didn't. Elaine had sisters that had
education was stressed
college,
a
yeah.
lot in my family.
But in my family,
but all your brothers became well.
My brothers became.
They became pretty successful.
Successful, but they didn't have. But they didn't go to college though. Mm. You know, they got into computers and they came pretty.
But they still had the work ethic.
They were hard
workers.
Ethics,
yeah.
Yes. One of your brothers.
Yeah, they did pretty well.
Is millionaire.
That's pretty good to come from where you guys came from, and
yes,
and especially during that time where so many barriers existed, to be able to overcome those barriers.
That's right.
Yeah, it's true.
Yes.
In the last minute or so, is there anything would like to say to your daughters, or that you want them to know about you, or
what I'd like to say, I thought maybe you might ask me about one of the most memorable things that I had during my lifetime. One of them was when I had two or three good memory things that I remember that I really liked was when Elaine, when she passed the medical technology register, she called me. I enjoyed that. And then when Valerie got into either medical school or even when she graduated from medical school, that was another one. And then when you finished law school. Those are some of the memorable things.
And then when our son finished accounting.
Oh, yeah, my son. Yeah. That was memorable.
When the three of you, each at each point, when you guys finished school, graduated, and got your degrees, that was the biggest enjoyment in our life that we had.
Yeah, we always did say that when you get out, that when you start school, you wouldn't finish until you got to college. You wouldn't finish at high school. You had to go on, yeah. That's what we kind of always advocated, yeah.
Yeah, you all were good examples of hard work. We couldn't have done it without seeing you all do it.
Yeah.